Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Need training? Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of weekly live and on-demand training sessions. Plus, get access to vendor setup form templates and reference tools that will help you and your team avoid fraud, fines, and bad vendor data. So sign up for a free account to get access to free training sessions, vendor process FAQs, and a resource library with information you need to manage your vendor master file. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. Do you have in your vendor bank account add or update process that if the vendor bank account ownership validation is successful, then you stop right there? That is no longer appropriate. Why? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 279. What fraudsters are doing that pass bank account ownership validation. Now, this is not to go over the details surrounding how to do bank account ownership validation, who provides it, what may be some issues or considerations you need to take into account when choosing one or identifying, you know, what your results may be. I actually have two podcast episodes where I talk about some of that. So the first one is episode 199, and the title is Pros and Cons of Using Micro Deposits Over Early Warning GIAC to Validate Vendor Bank Account Ownership. And then the second one is episode 205, One Possible Reason Your Match Rates May Be Lower Than Expected for Bank Account Ownership Validation. So those are really interesting podcast episodes. So make sure you check those out. What I am specifically talking about today is a little, disturbing. And I kind of knew it, but I never kind of saw it in print. And I came across a third-party provider that I really never heard of before. And so I started looking around their site, and they had a blog, a recent blog. It was in November of 2023. And it talked about this phenomenon of why bank account validation isn't enough. And I will tell you, I knew that it wasn't enough just because of the reasons I talk about or I reviewed in those two podcast episodes, 199 and 205. But it wasn't the reason that they had in this article. So the company is called TrustMi, T-R-U-S-T-M-I. I don't know if that's how you say it, but it looks like it's all one word. And the title of the article or the blog post was Why Bank Account Validation Isn't Enough. And it was published November 14, 2023. And in it talks about the fact that bank account validation or bank account ownership validation will only prove that the account exists and belongs to the person, company, or entity whose name is on the account. And that was verbatim, and I'll keep reading. But fraudsters are savvy, and they know how to steal information and create and use bank accounts that are completely legitimate. Now, if I go further into the blog post, it says that The bad actor now has a new fully verified bank account in the vendor company's name that only they have access to. And how did they do that? They hijacked the email conversation of someone on the finance team at a vendor company. And we know that they do that because sometimes, right, they are able to get email credentials because, you know, maybe that employee fell for a phishing scam or phishing email and put in their username and password. And maybe that username and password is used across multiple accounts, including their email. But they get that information and then they take that those financial documents that they have harvested from these past emails because they're in that hijacked account. They will open a new bank account for the same vendor name at the same bank that the vendor already uses. Now, the blog also talks about how the vendor or the fraudster uses the same information to open up the bank account. So I'm assuming that means that not only are they using the same vendor legal name, but they're also using the same tax ID. It doesn't say it specifically, but typically when you have bank account ownership validation, you're looking at matching the vendor legal name to the bank account holder name. And then also the tax ID that was used to open up the bank account is the same tax ID that you were given for the vendor setup or that is on an existing vendor's account. Now, what I don't understand, and it's probably just because I don't understand banking, right? The banking relationship when you're setting up a new bank account is why is there no due diligence on a new account that is open for an existing account with that same, or that also has an existing account at that same bank with that same name and with that same tax ID. I don't know the rules around that, but if there were some additional due diligence, I would think that that would help to prevent that new account from being open. But I suppose that companies have I know that they have additional bank accounts, but now that I think about it, the ones that I am thinking of, and this is when I was a professional or a practitioner, and we dealt with making payments from several different bank accounts that my company uses. Those were all for different entities, I believe. But in any event, I would think the bank would have some onus here, but again, I am not a professional in that area. The only thing that I can just talk about is what else I think that you can add to the bank account ownership validation to reduce the potential for fraud in case a fraudster did open up an account in your vendor's name using their information, including their tax ID. Now, one thing the blog points out, which is absolutely true, is that the vendor doesn't even know that a new bank account exists in their name. And so that's really bad. And when you go and do the validation, there's going to be no red flags. And so your bank account ownership validation is going to be successful and you're going to be very happy until your vendor calls you and says that they did not receive the payment. Now, I know that plenty of you listeners, clients, people that practitioners that I talk to at conferences, everybody wants to get bank account ownership validation because that's going to be the silver bullet. And I started to name this podcast episode that the bank account ownership validation is not a silver bullet, but that doesn't solve all your problems. One, because of this, and two, because some of the reasons I outlined in the other two podcast episodes I talked about, one of which is that you're just not going to find all of your vendor accounts when you do this bank account validation or bank account ownership validation lookup. So you're just not going to find them. There are reasons for that. But when you do find it and you think that it is a match, many of you have in your processes that you don't do anything else unless there is not a match or unless the account validation is not successful. And that's where the problem lies. So you can't just do the bank account ownership validation and expect that the successful validation means that you won't have payment fraud. So that being said, what do you need to do? Well, I don't remember if I did it in a podcast, a webinar, blog, on my YouTube channel, or all of the above, but I sincerely do not think that the collection and validation of vendor remittance details really needs to lie with the vendor team. Look, we don't get training for how to spot these scams. We don't get the tools to help us spot these scams and help us avoid fraud, right? And one great example is those of you that are listening to this because you were trying to get bank account ownership validation tools, but then couldn't. Now, what do you do when you find out that even that is flawed? So we don't get the training. We don't get the tools. The fraudsters get way more than we get. Yet if there is a payment fraud that happens, it's all our fault. So I really don't think that the remittance process, the collection of vendor remittance details, be it bank account details for an electronic payment or remittance addresses for check payments, really need to reside with the accounts payable, vendor team, vendor management process, whoever owns it. My recommendation is that the collection, storage, and update of vendor remittance details actually be outsourced to professionals. And that includes then the payments to those vendors. And so you have third-party payment solution providers. Send them, right, your pay file. Just don't include the remittance information because you don't have it. And have them then enroll or enable the vendor in whatever payment method the vendor wants to be paid in. It's no different than outsourcing your payroll, right? And so what that means is it doesn't mean that you don't set up vendor records. I know that you have to set up vendor records. You need it for the PO. You need it to post the invoices, right? You still need a vendor record, but you absolutely do not have to keep the remittance details in there, which means your vendor team does not have to collect banking details, remittance addresses from risky email, which most of you still do, and then take that information and validate it and put it into or enter it into the ERP. And not only that, not just at new vendor setup, but also at existing vendor change, which is where a lot of the fraud happens. So that removes the risk of fraud from you and your team members and puts it on the professionals, same way as they do with payroll. So I'm not quite sure. Well, let me take that back. I do get why that function is, or that recommendation could be looked at a little funny with some anxiousness, because I know we are all type A personalities in accounts payable. But if we just think about it like we do payroll, there's absolutely no issue with outsourcing payroll. Why not AP payments as well? All right. So off my soapbox about that one, what can you do now that we know that bank account ownership validation can validate that fraudulent account and still cause payment fraud? So one is, and I know that many of you do it when the payment bank account ownership validation is not valid, is that confirmation call. And I hate the confirmation call. You guys know I hate the confirmation call. Doesn't mean you don't need to do it, but you do need to put some controls around it. right? Because even the confirmation call is not a silver bullet. Because one, you always don't have, or you don't always have the information to contact the right people. And sometimes when you try to look for it on the web, because it's not in your vendor master file, it is not there because that company has experienced fraud. And so they've taken their AR people contact information of their AR people down off of the website. So now you've got to go searching within your company to see if you can find the right contact person. And then even if you find the right contact person, I've heard from numerous folks at in-person conferences that they have been told that they don't confirm banking information over the phone. So the confirmation call is not always the silver bullet, but make sure you surround it with other controls, just like you're surrounding the bank account ownership validation now with other controls. So you've got bank account ownership validation, whether it is successful or not successful. Then you've got the confirmation call. And there is one more that I can recommend of the 29 internal controls, 15 authentication techniques, 17 best practices and 16 vendor validations that I talk about as part of the authentication validation management framework. That is what all of my training is and content is based on, by the way. But before I get into one more, I do want to talk about the fact that when you see these bank account ownership validation providers, and they are offering other services to identify or other identification services along with bank account ownership validation. That's why. And this company that I, where I quoted the blog from, and by the way, I didn't say it, but I will put a link to that blog in the show notes. But this company also offers additional identification validations along with bank account ownership validation. They actually offer a whole process. Again, I haven't heard of them before. They're called TrustMI, T-R-U-S-T-M-I, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Maybe it's just Trust. I don't know. But in any event, I'm going to put that link so you can go to their site and get more information if you want to. But they actually have a whole flow, and it looks like it might be some type of a supplier or vendor onboarding platform that goes from onboarding all the way to payment. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to take a little bit of, I'm going to reach out to them and ask to book a demo so I can take a look at what's new out there, because I always like to keep up with what's new. They're a fairly newer company. They have been around since 2021. But again, I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. But they do that. And also for anyone that has looked at early warning versus GIAC, GIAC, along with some other providers, are a reseller of early warning. And they really provide more identification validations than what early warning does, I guess, because they want to make sure, or they want to get those customers or clients that would be eligible to get early warning. And that's if you are have a relationship with one of the seven banks. Anyway, I talk about that in the other two podcasts that I mentioned earlier, episode 199 and episode 205. But they also offer other identification services, including watch list validations for OFAC, and probably more than that. But I do remember OFAC. And then also they added, I think it was December of 2022, the IRS 10 match. Now, that's not going to do a whole lot, right? Because the vendor legal name tax ID is going to match. But the point is that there are other providers of bank account ownership validation tools that will give you more than just the bank account ownership validation for this reason. So you might want to check out, make sure if you do get approval, you're looking at companies that have other validations in addition to the bank account ownership validation. But just in case you're still doing this manually, and I know many of you that listen to this podcast are still doing things manually, that's why you listen. Here is one more control that you can put into place. And I've talked about it before, but I don't know that everyone thinks it's very doable. But if it is, then it can be very effective. So this is when after you, so before you update the banking, you will contact the vendor. Now, after you update the banking, you also send a notification out to the vendor to let them know that their information has changed. And you don't say exactly what it is. You just say that could something that could affect your payment. It's the same way that if you make a change to your online bank profile or registration or Hulu or Netflix or Amazon, right? They're going to send you a notification that says that if you or that a change was made. And if you didn't make it, either change your password or contact us. That's the same thing you can do with your vendor. And you might even be able to trigger that to be sent automatically if you have an email address on file. And you can get your systems team or IT team to trigger that notification based on the update of specific fields. And then that way it's automated, right? You don't have to worry about doing it. But if not, you can still send a manual email. And if you do not have an email address on file, you can always send a letter through mail. And many times, some of these online providers, when you do make changes to your online accounts, they will send along with the email or, you know, just it, they will send a letter via the mail to let you know something was changed. And so you can do the same thing with your vendors. Hopefully you have an email address on file and you send it to the email address, especially if as a part of the vendor banking change request, the email was updated, you will send that to the email that was on file prior to the update. And what can happen as a result of that is your vendor can then, if they're looking at their emails, and I know we can do a lot of jokes about that, but your vendor can then contact you and let you know that, hey, I did not make that change. And maybe they can do that in time before you pull that next invoice in to make a payment to that legitimate but fraudulent account. Wow, is that a new term? Legitimate but fraudulent account. So legitimate fraudulent account, or is it a fraudulent legitimate account? I don't know. These fraudsters are getting us in tongue twisters now. They are getting very sophisticated. Again, ultimate solution, I think, is to get it out of our hands because it's getting harder and harder for us to determine whether or not we are paying the right vendor. And if we don't pay the right vendor, it is that fault is typically on us as well, even though we don't have the training and we don't have the tools. So get the training, get the tools. Better yet, get it out of the hands of the vendor team and push it to professionals. All right, so I am off my soapbox for today. I hope that you guys learned something valuable in why the bank account ownership validation, getting a successful validation is just not enough anymore. All right, so thanks everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 279th episode of the Putting the APN Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.